from the dead. The Bible calls it, today I have begotten you. Today some new beginning has taken place. Something new has taken place. What has taken place? A new human race is born. Hallelujah. A new human race is born in a spiritual sense. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The word creation in the Greek is a new species. And when Jesus Christ arose from the dead, he was bringing with him the representation of the glorified man, restored back to Adam's state that no human being had ever reached. And when he went back into heaven, he now represents mankind. When he sat on the throne, he represented you and I. We are in him. Let it be clear in our minds that when he went up, there was a difference. Watchman Nee tries to illustrate it this way. He says, take a white piece of cloth, and when Jesus came down, it was like the white piece of cloth coming down, and then when he became man, you touch part of the cloth and make it with a blue, mark it with a blue ink. So that is it. He took on the human nature. Then when Jesus Christ went up, he took the human part of him up with him, and he sat on the glory of God, and he represented us. In other words, when he went up, there was a difference. That is why Colossians chapter 1 calls him the firstborn of this creation. Now, how special is this firstborn? It is so special that when all the work is finished, God has to renovate the whole of heaven for this new species. It's just that if you move into a new house, or you move into a house, one of the things that most people do is they set it up and renovate it or do things to it until it's the way they like it, and then they go in. When everything is finished, do you know that the heavens and the earth have to be, quote unquote, if we can use those words, renovated? Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Look at that. When all the work is completed, all of the heavens and the earth has to be changed and fitted to the new creation. There's something new that God has begun. And that's the key revelation in Colossians. In Colossians 1, he is the firstborn over all creation. And everything was made through him. And in verse 16, there's another third point that is in the last two words. And for him. That's important. What does omnipotence mean? Omnipotence means that everything is only for him. Everything that we have and all powers and all authorities come under the omnipotence of God. All that is exercised is only a tiny drop of God's omnipotence shared with man. So omnipotence and all power and authority must be exercised not only through Him, but for Him. When it's not for Him, it enters the rebellion. That's the third point of omnipotence. Now we understand why Jesus Christ, when He was tempted by the devil, and the devil said, at the end of the 40-day fast, the devil said, turn these stones into bread. Do you know that that Jesus had the power to turn the stones into bread? He had reached that walk with God where I believe it was actual He could. He reached that point. But remember the third point of power. Power is for Him, not for ourselves. All creation was made through Him, but don't forget the other part, and for Him. If it's not for Him, it's rebellion. All riches, all wisdom, all possession, all materially is for Him. He shares it with us, but we must never forget it was made for Him. Fourth point, verse 17. He is before all things, and that we have touched on, He pre-existed. But the other part here is, and in Him all things consist. What does the omnipotence of Jesus signify? It means that there is no life without Him. All life is held by Him. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we are told in verse 3, upholding, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. It is Jesus who holds all creation together. And it is Him who now sustains life. At any point and at any time, He could have removed it. What an awesome thought. To know that God is so all-powerful. The only reason why Jesus has not shut out and removed all of those demon powers is because there was a legal binding that was present when Adam turned it over to Him. He could do it, but if he do it, he would violate his own law, so he does not. That is why when the demons saw Him manifested on this earth, the demons were afraid and said, have you come before the time? Do you notice this was a demon always say? Have you come before the time? What time were they talking about? They knew that the earth was on leasehold and not freehold. Of course, it was not 99 years, it was more than that. So when Satan took over the world, he legally took it from Adam. God had to respect the laws He had established. He had to fight under His own laws, to be fair. And so Jesus did. He came and He fought under every law God made, and He won against the devil. But there will be a day coming when the leasehold ends. And all of demon power will be gathered and thrown into the lake of fire. Sadly, if you read the Bible, the lake of fire was made for the devil and his angels. It is never said made for men. It was made for the devil and his angels. But the devil and his fallen angel knew of their fallen state and knew that his time is short, and he dragged as many human souls as possible into it, which saddens God's heart because it was never made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. We are glad it's a short book tonight. When we cover omnipotence, omnipresence and omnipotence, it's all like that. In chapter 2, we see omniscience. And there are truths of omniscience that we will look at, but we have covered the most major important point of the firstborn. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of the understanding up to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So there is an omniscience, the omniscience of God. We can never, there are these areas we can never be like Jesus. Although we sing a song to be like Jesus, we can only sing that in the fullness of the earthly sense. We can never be omnipotent. We can never be omniscient. And we can never be omnipresent. These are the only areas we cannot be like Him. Because we were never God, He was God. We can be God-like, but we cannot be God. Some people that exalt themselves and they only teach the doctrine of being in Christ until they say that, you know, we are now the fourth member of the Godhead. We are not the fourth. The only people qualify, or the only, how shall I can't use species, I can't use creation, I can't use creatures. The only being qualified to be Godhead must have the quality of omnipotence, omniscient, and omnipresent. That is why we humans can never qualify. That's the only area we cannot be like Jesus. Now don't be so sad, right? There are many areas we still can be like Jesus. And we can be in a glorified state of His creation. And here He says that in His omniscience, there are certain truths here. Number one, you'll find these truths in all the other scriptures too. In the omniscience of God, we can partake of it a little bit at a time. In other words, God gives a bit of His knowledge to us. A little bit of God's knowledge to us is like a world of learning. But how do we tap on that? These are the keys given. Number one, it is hidden. The riches of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Hidden means it must be searched out. You find it all through the Bible. These teachings are all in line with the Bible. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, 4 and 5, and it talks about wisdom. It says, wisdom crying in the street, waiting to be invited into people's houses. Wisdom must be searched out. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. So the first quality is that it is hidden. The omniscience of God is hidden. We must search it out. We must desire it. We must hunger for it. It takes effort. Effort in prayer. Effort in desire. Effort in zeal. It doesn't just come. Look at Daniel and the amount of wisdom he got. How did he get it? He got it by his faithfulness and by his prayer. And even when God gave him some revelations, he didn't understand. What did he do? He went on a fast to pray about what this prophecy mean. And then God showed him more revelations of what those prophecies he prayed about mean. So wisdom must be searched out, because the first quality of the omniscience of God is it is hidden. It is hidden, waiting to be searched out. Number two, the second quality that we find here, let's read verse 9 first. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And what does this completion in him imply? If we look at it very carefully, he speaks of different areas working in our life. In verse 12, being buried with him in baptism, we being dead in trespasses. Why does he suddenly talk about all these areas? In verse 14 and 15, he says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Why suddenly does he talk about this deadness to sin, overcoming sin and freedom from sin and overcoming this demonic power? Because the quality of omniscience, the second